brought to you by Penguin.
Life. A User's Manual. Philosophy for almost every and any eventuality. By Julian Baggini and Antonia Macaro. Read by Roy Macmillan. Introduction. Life doesn't come with an instruction manual, so the old saying goes, and with good reason. The makers of phones, chairs, souffles, and other created objects have a clear idea of what kinds of things these are, what function they serve, and how they should be made or used. And they can draw on all this knowledge to create manuals for users. It's different for human beings. We were not created with a predetermined purpose. We find ourselves thrown into the world, to use Heidegger's evocative expression. Or, as Jean-Paul Sartre put it, for human beings, existence precedes essence. We are, before we know what exactly we are and how we ought to live. We have to work out our purpose for ourselves. It's not a given. There is, however, one kind of user's manual we can resort to, one that requires a small but significant change in punctuation. Strictly speaking, it is a user's manual with the apostrophe after the S, a manual for users written by users. These user authors are the philosophers who have been grappling with the human condition for millennia, from the ancient worlds of China, India, and Greece to the present day. The words of dead philosophers speak to us across the centuries because human beings have a great deal in common with each other. There are universal human needs and common life situations. Each person, like a snowflake, is unique, just like every situation and every society is different. But we can draw on what we know about humanity more generally to illuminate particular cases. Of course, many believe we are created with a purpose by a designer God who gave us an instruction manual in the form of the sacred texts of their religion. Even they, however, would surely accept that they can learn from other traditions of thought and that the world's great philosophers have a great deal to offer. This manual is a compendium of their wisdom. Unlike traditional philosophy reference books, it's not organized by the names of philosophers, schools, or abstract concepts, but by life situations. When people face problems in life, they do not go looking for what the great thinkers have said about deontological duties, a priori principles, or the difference between substance and attribute, even though all of these might actually be of use to them. They want to know what philosophers have to say about relationships, work, illness, despair. The relevance of philosophy to these questions has varied. For the ancient schools, questions of how to live were central. Most modern philosophers, in contrast, have had little or nothing to say about the art of living. However, in the last couple of decades or so, philosophy's public image seems to have changed from impenetrable scholasticism to something that could be useful to everyone. Stoicism, in particular, has grown enormously in popularity, and with its wealth of practical advice on how to live, it's easy to understand why. The Stoics excel in perceptiveness and clarity, and many of their words feature in these pages. Many who have helped to create this shift have argued that it marks a return to philosophy's historic mission, and that ancient philosophy was a form of psychotherapy. Supporting evidence includes the fact that both Albert Ellis, founder of Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy, and Aaron Beck, founder of Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, were influenced by Stoicism. In particular, they acknowledge a debt to Epictetus's saying that people are disturbed not by things, but by the views they take of things. The idea is that how we think affects how we feel, so we can change our feelings by changing our thinking. According to Richard Sarabji, the idea of philosophy as therapy can be traced back to the 5th century BCE, when Democritus said, "Medicine cures diseases of the body. Wisdom frees the soul from emotions." This view seems to have been retained by the later Stoics, Skeptics, and Epicureans. "Vain is the word of a philosopher which does not heal any human suffering," wrote Epicurus. "For just as there is no profit in medicine if it does not expel the diseases of the body, so there is no profit in philosophy either if it does not expel the suffering."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?